This is a special treat. And, you know, we're all trying to figure out what's going on right now as we sit here in lockdown, as we sit here in quarantine. This guy would normally be calling me, yelling and screaming about somebody in the Yankee bullpen, or, you know, maybe it's a guy who's hitting 220 and not pulling his weight. But how great a surprise is it to see my good friend? I've not talked to him in a while, but he reached out today, and I'm glad he's doing well and he's doing okay. The terrific actor and as big a Yankee fan as you're going to find, the great Nicky Totoro. Nicky, how the hell are you? What's happening, brother?
I'm alive, JJ. You know, what can you say? It's a weird time, my friend. And I was, you know, thinking about you today. I've been thinking about my New York friends and saying, hey, better check on this one, check on that one, because, you know, what's going on in your city, my city too, my former city, you know, it's just crazy. It's like the Twilight Zone. You know, you never know if you're ever going to experience something like this in your life. When we went through 9/11, you go through these crazy times. But this is something that's, you know, something very, very different. And I don't even know what to say. You know, you wake up every day and you're like, you know, what am I going to do today? You know, it's like I've been watching a lot of Sopranos. You know, I've been watching a lot of old Yankee games, tons of old Yankee games, which is great, which I love. You know, we could even talk about that. But it's just weird. I mean, how you doing? You good?
We're surviving. I'll tell you this, Nick. The best thing I can do is keep doing radio, because it kind of take my mind off of certain things. You know, like today, for example, I'm diving into who is like the biggest sports villain that you dealt with in your years as a fan. Like these topics that in the grand scheme of things, let's be honest, Nick, with everything that's going on right now, it don't mean a whole lot. But for everybody who's listening, it kind of is a way for all of us to heal, come together, stay safe, that sort of deal. So listen, I know you feel this way and I feel this way too. What we're missing and what we had after the aftermath of 9/11 is that healing power of sport, that healing power of baseball. And like, I don't know about you, Nick, last week or what was it, 2 weeks ago when it was supposed to be opening day, I'm not going to lie to you, I was very, very depressed. I really was.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, it was a downer, but you know, you could feel something coming. I don't know. There was something in the air. When I first heard about this thing when I was in China, I didn't think it was going to come here. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, when it started to come, you were like, oh, wow. So you forget about, you're right, 9/11 was a different kind of tragedy. And baseball, in a lot of ways, was a big healing process for a lot of people. I mean, you know, even that World Series, even though the Yankees didn't win, you don't even remember that. You remember the dramatics. You remember the Yankees coming back. You remember those great home runs. And a lot of ways now, it's like, what do you have to heal with? And that's why I've been looking at a lot of these old games. It's in a lot of ways, I'm reliving them because, you know, a lot of these games I was at, some of these games I watched. So it gets your mind off, you know, it gets your mind off of what's going on, because, you know, you need something. You need something at this time, and it's whatever it is that makes you feel good. And sports do make you feel good. So the old games, I mean, it is, you know, it's something. It's something at least that we have, because it's a dark time, man. You know, and you're looking for leadership, and you know, you got a great governor there, this guy Cuomo. I mean, he's a leader.
Taking names,
you know,
and kicking ass right now, Nick. Let's be honest. That's what he's doing. He's got a little personality to him too. Let's be honest. He's got a little charisma to him.
Oh, he does. He's got an edge to him. You know, there's something about him. He's got a presence. And you go, this guy's got, he's got the goods. You know, I never thought maybe an Italian would be like a, could be a president. But not that he wants to run, but man, I'll tell you, he's really got the, he's got the makeup. You know what I mean? And you need a leader, you know? I mean, a guy like Trump, he got exposed now because he's just not, he doesn't have that humanity. He just doesn't have it. This guy, you know, you could look to him. You know, he reminds me of somebody like my brother, you know, who's smart, who's not only smart, but he's also a leader. And he makes you feel good, even in a time of, you know, desperation. You need somebody with a brain and somebody with a soul. And this country needs that right now. We really do. But, you know, we just don't have it. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be, what it's going to take, and when we're going to get back to some normality. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe June, maybe some kind of normality.
Now, Nicky, in California, has it basically been the same deal? I mean, you guys, I know, are in complete lockdown, but you got people, I'm sure, like you walk around Brooklyn, you walk around the city, everybody's in masks. I went to the grocery store a few days ago. I went to one of the butchers on Staten Island, New York, one of my spots. And basically, you can't go in the store unless you're wearing a mask, unless you're wearing gloves. And they were only letting like a certain amount of people at the time going in, which is good. It made me feel a little bit better. But has that been the deal in California? Like, people, I hope, are taking this seriously.
Oh, no, they are. They are. I mean, you know, I've gone out to the market here and there, and I got a mask, and I got gloves, you know, and there's in this distance, you know, even when you do go in a store, you feel kind of, you know, you just feel nervous. You just really don't know. You don't really know how you're going to contract this and why it's so deadly. But the thing out here is, you know, you're not on top of each other. I really truly believe because New York, Queens, Brooklyn, everybody is so on top of each other in New York. I think that's why it maybe spread so bad over there, because they've done a good job here. They got a good governor here, too, this guy Gavin Newsom. He's another bright guy. And it isn't half as bad as New York. We haven't got, now, you know, you never know. We could get hit. But it's not, you know, everybody's taking it serious. You have to.
No doubt. You know, now, Nikki, I got to ask you this, my friend. As you're sitting there in quarantine, you're sitting there in lockdown, and you're going through these old games, what game over the last three or so weeks has given you, like, the most joy? Like, going back, rewatching it, reliving it, as big a Yankee fan as you are, what is the game that has, like, hit home to you the most?
I would say because it's, like, fresh in my mind, you know, fresher. I would say, I would compare, the games that really got me excited, I would think, was the, you know, was the Aaron Boone game, the 0-3 game, which I was at, and also the Tino game and the Brocious game. Those two games, just you know, the excitement that, you know, I got crazy. I got up, I was, you know, I was cheering from my bed, and you know, and you just, you knew these moments, you knew these plays. And then there were some games that the Yankees blew that angered me. You know, like the game in Seattle that they didn't win. You know, they took out a young Mariano Rivera and they brought him in a little late, whatever. They didn't know.
Nick, they didn't know what they had. I mean, they let David Cone throw 140 pitches. And listen,
you know, what
I trusted
understand.
David Cone, but then he didn't know what he had in Rivera. If he did, he might still be the manager. And let's be honest, Nick, that to me is the worst loss I've ever experienced as a Yankee fan. That, I mean, take the Red Sox series aside. That whole series is a blur to me. But specifically, that game in 95, it broke my soul as a young kid. But let's be honest. If that game doesn't happen, who knows if Joe Torre's the manager? Who knows if they go and get Girardi? Who knows if they go get Tino Martinez? So as bad as a loss as that may have been in the grand scheme of things, it led to what we saw, which is four titles in 5 years.
Yes, because sometimes you have to get a loss in order to get a win. You know, I go back to like 76. I was there when I'm older than you. You're just a young kid. You know, Chandler Sitahoma, we jumped on the field, ripped out grass. It was exhilarating. And the Yankees hadn't won a pennant in 12 years. I had only been a Yankee fan since 73. So I didn't suffer that long. But the Yankees were like a, you know, beaten down team. The Mets were kind of the darlings of New York. So when the Yankees got through and won a pennant, finally were back and they were relevant again, they got swept by the Reds. And I mean, yeah, granted, they weren't as good as the Reds, but they could have won a game or two. They got embarrassed. And you know, it was kind of like, wow, you know, for the Yankees, that was like winning the World Series. It was like for the Mariners. The Mariners, that was like their World Series. So kudos to them. And the baseball gods, just, there was something about, you know, it saved baseball in Seattle. They didn't move the team. And you're right, the Yankees fans didn't know what was coming. Torre, all these players, Jeter, Posada. We didn't know what was coming. So in a lot of ways, you know, it does hurt, it does sting. But when you look at what came after that, it definitely, you know, softens the blow of that loss. And even like with the Yankees, after 76, they added Reggie in 77. They came back. They were tougher than the Dodgers. They won two in a row, and they improved the team. And just, you know, it was a little different than that run, but it was still, sometimes you got to lose in order to win. Then the Yankees had built a, you know, we didn't know what was coming. But you're right, it's as bad as that was. You know, maybe that happened for a reason. Showalter, as good as he was, he could never get over the hump with people. And I like Buck, but he could never. And then, you know, we never see Joe. Listen, this is, you can't change history. A lot of times I go back, watch old games, and the ball bounces in the stands like a Tony Parker, the ball against the,
don't
the Red Sox game.
Don't remind me. I actually went back and rewatched that game, Nick, because I'm a sucker for punishment.
You can't change it. It is what it is. That's what makes it great. But when you relive it and you see some of the tough losses, you go, wow. I mean, the one that hurts the most in my gut, and not that they deserve to win that World Series in 01, but because of 9-11, those miracle comebacks, and you know, I was at that game in the desert, Game 7. It was insane.
You were in Arizona for Game 7.
Oh, I was in
Arizona.
I did
not know that.
And I drove down there for 6 and 7. 6 we got
And remember 6,
out.
Andy Pettit was tipping his pitches. We all know it at the
right.
time. Andy Pettit was tipping his pitches. It's not like the Diamondbacks cheated or anything. They noticed it.
No.
It was a tell, and Andy Pettit got shellacked. And Nick, let's be honest. When Soriano hits the ball on his shoe tops against
Kurt Schilling
and gives the Yankees the lead, you're saying they're 6 outs away. Mariano's coming in. There's no way in the world they're going to lose.
I know. Here's the thing, bud. I don't know if you ever thought about it, JJ. Did you ever think about why did you bring Mariano in the 8th?
No, because listen, he had done it so many times, not only in that World Series, not only in the postseason. Mariano, listen, in Game 7 against the Red Sox, he didn't go one inning, he didn't go two innings, he went three innings. So, no, I never had a problem Rivera going for two. And that first inning, he was great. The issue I had in that game, Nick, and I'm sure you remember this, after Mariano makes the bad throw on the bunt, the Diamondbacks bunt again. And remember, they bunted right back to Rivera.
I know what you're going to say.
Go ahead. Brocious. And I love Scotty Brocious. He was clutch. He had the big Game 5 home run. If he throws across the diamond there, they would have gotten Jay Bell and turned to double play. That haunts me more in that game than anything else.
That was insane that he never... And I love Scotty. And we know how clutch he was. San Diego, I was there. I mean, you know, he was so clutch, Game 5. But why, you know, no one ever asked him that or why he didn't look across. I mean, he had a long time. That guy was, you know,
halfway up the line.
Bell.
And when they showed Game 7 again, I went back and rewatched it, Nick, because they had And I want to hear the broadcast. You know, I really didn't want to hear the broadcast. It was like the 9th inning. I was like, I really should shut this you-know-what off, but I'm not going to do it. But then seeing it, it's like I think Brocious was so content with just getting that out at third. You know Mariano's on the mound. He's going to figure out a way to get out of it. And maybe he was like nervous about making a bad throw or whatever. But they would have
turned
the
ball. Well, I'll tell you something.
He's absolutely out.
You was not in the stadium. I was. And I'm telling you, the stress in that stadium, I don't know if it was 60,000 or 70,000. It was like something, you know, it was unbelievable. Like, you felt like you were going to have a – and I don't know what got to him, but I still feel like the bunt, the first bunt, he never should have tried to get DeLucci. I mean, a good throw would have got him, but I think you just get that short out. He just should have got the short – because who knows what Jay Bell does then now. You know what I mean? I mean, Jay Bell then doesn't bunt, but who knows? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you get the first out – and then you get, just arguably, you know, you get Jay Bell, then who knows if Womack comes up with the hit. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, Nick, that's baseball in a nutshell, my friend. I got to ask you this question because it's going to be our topic throughout the night. I'm sure there are a lot of players that have gotten under your skin over the years. Who is the guy for you? Maybe it's George Brett. Maybe it's Big Poppy. Maybe it's, I don't know, Edgar Martinez, Kurt Schilling, you name it. Who is the guy that, like, irritated you the most and is, like, the biggest villain for you now looking back and thinking of all your years of Yankee history?
Well, number one villain, you would say. I used to think it was probably Brett. I used to think it was Brett. And I think Poppy, I think he exceeded Brett. You know what I mean? He just put the fear of death into the Yankees. And he was just the difference maker. You know, I mean, you look at like, you know, we got A-Rod, they got Big Poppy, okay? You know, and I love A-Rod. He's a good guy. We're friends. But they got Big Poppy, and he was a killer. He was the killer to the Yankees. And, you know, he broke us. He broke us. I mean, I can't think of anyone. I mean, Brett owned the Yankees, too. They finally got over the hump in 1980, but we got by. We beat Brett, as tough as bad as Brett was for us. But I think you can't... I don't think you can. I don't know. Why? Who do you have? Who do
it's
you
Big
have?
Poppy for me. Hands yeah. down, Nick. Yeah. It's Reggie Miller yeah. with the Knicks, and it's Big yeah. Poppy. I mean, listen, Reggie, it's the idea of yeah. going after your boy Spike Lee, and he's doing the choke sign, and it was like all this, you know, back and forth. Even though yeah. Jordan was far more of an assassin, you know, Reggie's a lot like Brett. There was this, like, showmanship nature to both of them. But the Yankees, yeah. for the most part, got the better of George Brett's teams. And with the Knicks, it was basically like a 50-50 split between he and Reggie. But, like, you just hated and irritated by the sight of Reggie Miller. But Poppy's the guy for me. Nick, I couldn't stand oh, yeah. him. I mean, he couldn't yeah. get pitched to a big spot.
I couldn't stand him. I mean,
it was him and Manny, and then it was him. Yeah. And you know what, Nick? He did it for 13 years.
He was just consistent, man. He was consistent. He was relaxed. He was clutch as they come. I mean, I sat next to him in the pregame this year, and you could just tell he's just so – I had a lot of fun with him. But he's so in the moment, that dude. You know what I mean? He is so relaxed. He's so in the moment. You know, he's got that presence of – he's a star. You know what I mean? And he's got that confidence. I mean, and, you know, Brett had that too. I mean, like, we were better than the Royals. But Brett was, he was a Yankee killer. He owned us. He hated the Yankees, and the Yankees hated them. It was a great rivalry. People don't know how great a rivalry the Royals and the Yankees, man. It was like they did not like each other. Yankees and Reds, a lot of these teams just, you know, the thing is like today, everybody's hugging and kissing. It's too much of that.
I agree. And hopefully if there's another benefit now to social distancing, Nick, maybe that'll actually come to an end. You know, the hugging it out and the bromance between, you know, all these players. I'm with you there 1,000%. We got Nicky Totoro, the outstanding actor. He's as big a Yankee fan as you're going to find. And Nicky, I got to ask you, now that you're rewatching The Sopranos, who is your favorite character on the show? I'm sure New York City is waiting here, my friend. A Hollywood guy like yourself, you know, a savant like yourself. What character is your favorite to kind of dissect in watching that show?
Well, I tell you, well, obviously, you know, the best actor on the show is Gandolfini. He's a genius. He was brilliant. I can watch him. It's like going to school watching this, James. But my favorite character, I think my favorite character in the show, like in Entourage, my favorite character is Johnny Drama for a lot of reasons. I think in The Sopranos, I'm going to go with Paulie Walnuts because Sirico is just like, he's kind of the glue in that show. And he was, you know, he wasn't a real, you know, actor. He was kind of playing a guy close to himself, but he just took it to another level. And he was so funny and he was so real. Maybe he knew a lot about that life, but he just kills me. And then you feel for him, too. You know, you feel like there was a lot of, there was something about Paulie Walnuts that, you know, when he got upset about things, when his feelings were hurt, he just, and he was so funny, man. He was so funny. I mean, he might have been a caricature in a lot of ways, but brilliant, brilliant writing. I'll tell you, I've rewatched it now like 3 or 4 times. I don't get tired of it.
Me neither. Nick, I think it's the best show that I've ever seen in my life. From a drama standpoint, I think it's the best show I've ever seen because I've seen it twice.
It's incredible. I'm such a fan of the show. I mean, I don't even care. A lot of people go, were you ever angry you wasn't on it? Or I said, you know, I no, not really. I said, I you know, would have loved to have been on it one time and met David Chase. He goes, how come I never met you? How come you didn't? I go, well, I was a fan of your show, David, you know, and I was on a great show, NYPD Blue, and it was really in its heyday. It was a great network show. And this show, I mean, went to another place. It's better than movies. I mean, it's better. You rewatch it, you know, you can rewatch it now, and you don't get tired of it because it's great on so many levels. You know, it is funny. It's brilliant. Who's your favorite character? Your Uncle Junior?
I'm on the same page with you. It's Paulie, hands down. Because everything about his mannerisms and the way he interacts with Gandolfini, the way he interacts with the other fellas, I mean, he cracks me up. Anytime I see Paulie, and I'll tell you another great character is Richie Aprile. He's a jerk. I couldn't stand him, but I mean, that is a tremendous, tremendous role, Nicky.
Tremendous job. And I know the actor, David Proval, great actor. He was in Mean Streets, didn't quite always get his due. He was a wonderful villain. I mean, he was he's a really good actor. And, yeah, you know, I tell you, like, Dre DiMatteo, man, she is freaking good. I'll tell you, she's really good. And you rewatch the show, you start seeing people. I mean, you know, Edie and James were just. It was like real.
Jim, bro. Now listen, we got a lot of free time on our hands. Don't be a stranger. You know where to find me. Any of these days you're up late, you got nothing to do, you just want to talk some sports, some movies, some television, whatever, Nicky, I'm here, bro. I'm here.
Thank you. I love calling. I love talking to you. You know, you're one of the best out there. Not because I like you, but you're terrific. Your energy, you're a star, man. You're a star. I think they know it over there. So just keep doing what you're doing, my friend. And I'll check in.
I love you, bro. Stay safe, all right? Send my best to everybody,
pal.
Okay?
Be good.
There you have it. The great Nicky Totoro. I mean, as good as it gets. That's the way you kick off the end of hour number one. My goodness.